Hello, come on in, come on in, come on in. All right, so howdy. I'm Jeffrey Snover. I'm a distinguished engineer and the lead architect for Windows Server and System Center. And today we're going to talk some PowerShell. So I need a little audience participation here. How many people here came for a level 200 talk? Raise your hand. Oh, okay. How many people came for a level 400 talk? Okay, well, here's the deal. This talk's going to be, this talk's always kind of a one of those high wire acts. I'm never sure whether it's going to work or I'm going to crash and fall because I really don't have a plan. I got kind of a rough guideline. But what I mean to do with this talk is to give both a 200 level talk and a 400 level talk. Sometimes like those animated movies where the kids get a lot out of it and the parents get a lot out of it too. It plays at two different levels. Same thing for this talk. The heart of this talk is to teach you how to learn PowerShell, to convey the sense of fun and exploration with PowerShell. And so part of that is I don't really have a firm plan of what I'm going to show you. So this is not one of those examples where I've got a demo.txt and I just go line by line. What fun would that be? And so let's talk about this. And so first I want to kind of get you in the mindset of PowerShell. Like, what is this thing? You know, is this thing a fish, a fowl, you know, platypus? What is this thing? So first, give you a little background, right? I like to say that PowerShell is the child of three parents, okay? So first, there's Unix. Most of the team have a deep Unix background. In fact, when we were developing this, some guys threw a rock at us and said, looks like you're doing this for Unix developers. I said, yeah, those are the guys who aren't using our products. You know, so of course I'm doing it for the Unix developers. But indeed, the Unix model had a wonderful command line compositional model, right? This A pipe to B pipe to C. And I originally tried to get the Unix tools and ship them on Windows, and it just didn't work at all. Just won't work. And that's why you see a lot of Unix tools just fail when it comes to managing Windows. And the heart of it is the core architectural difference between Windows and Linux. Linux is a document-oriented operating system. Everything's a document. Windows is an API-oriented operating system. So in Linux, if you can edit a file, you can manage everything in Linux. That's why awk, grep, sed, those are management tools, really. But then when you try and bring those tools to Windows, it doesn't work, right? Awk doesn't work against the registry, sed doesn't work against WMI, grep doesn't work against Active Directory. Those tools just don't work. But the basic model of composition, small little components that then stitch together to solve novel problems, was a very powerful idea, and I loved it. So indeed, as I mentioned, I was a longtime Unix developer. At some point, I went to work for Digital Equipment Corporation, where I worked on VMS DCL. And I'll tell you, I hated that thing. Oh, did I hate it. I was a Unix guy, and I knew the right way to do things was Unix. And this dang DCL, it's like, what a piece of crap. I just hated it, hated it, hated it. And I'd go around, and I'd bitch, and this, and that. Somebody's like, well, what are you going to do? It's sort of your job. I thought, well, that's a good point. So I thought, okay, you know, I just need to make my peace with it. And so I stopped complaining, and I broke out the manual, and I started learning it. And indeed, and after about a day, it's like, okay, I can get things done. After a couple days, I realized what a glorious thing it was. It was completely predictable, uniform syntax, and then I just fell in love with it. After a week, I could do almost anything in VMS DCL because it was so consistent and so predictable. And so one of the jokes in VMS land is, hey, you know, somebody put a fish finder on the VAX last night. Do you know how to manage it? And the answer is, of course, you know, show fish finder, set fish finder slash property equals. You just make a set of guesses about a novel thing, and your guesses were going to be correct. Now, anybody, by the way, how many people here have a Unix background or some flavor of Unix? Yeah, yeah, clearly. Okay, here's a question for you. What does dash S mean? Depends. That's exactly the right answer. You have no idea what it means. You just cannot do that same, I bet you this is the case, and have it work in Linux. Not at all, at all. But you can with VMS, okay? So it's very, very predictable. They had a verb and a noun model. And then lastly, AS400. So AS400CL was a beautiful environment, and in fact, it's very business-oriented. It's very clear when you look at the design, when you look at the features, they're there to support people doing real business. In fact, I had a falling out. I was a longtime Unix guy. I had a falling out with the Unix guys because of this very issue, right? And I was one of the worst offenders, right? I'd write code that, oh, you can't figure out my code. You can't use it. That means you're dumb and I'm smart. Ha, ha, ha. Isn't that cool? And, you know, it was very much of a culture where clever was more important than helpful. In fact, I remember the incident like it was yesterday. One of my developers came to me and he's head in hand. We'd just gotten this new drop of code from Open Software Foundation and he couldn't get it working. And he showed me the code. And basically what happened was it get to an error condition and it would do printf puke monkey guts and abort. It's like, what the heck's that? Anyway, so clearly not an environment where people are trying to help people get their jobs done. The AS400 is very much that mindset. People are trying to get their jobs done. Business is on the mind, is on the line. And the whole product, you know, you can see that in the design. So PowerShell, what I wanted to do was to take the best of these three worlds and put it together. Okay, and so that's what I think what we've been trying to do. So again, I'm not going to try and teach you everything about PowerShell. You know, the real key thing is to learn PowerShell, right? That's what I'm hoping to teach you in this course. And the first and most important thing is to learn how to learn, right? And that sounds simple. It's not simple at all, right? It really requires a sense of curiosity and a sense of exploration. So the first things are, people asked me the other day on Twitter, like, hey, how do I start, you know, how do I learn PowerShell? And I said, get help. Literally, type it. Okay? So that's what you want to do. We have a help system. It's actually pretty good. I mean, shock, I know. We've been teaching you for decade after decade that the help is complete waste of time. But surprise, the PowerShell help is actually pretty darn good. Now, there's a bunch of great books out there as well, fantastic books. But the help is a great place to start. Now, in the later versions of the product, what we decided was, you know, we'd ship the product, and then you'd come to me and you'd say, hey, Jeffrey, that help wasn't very helpful. It should say this. And I say, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. Just hang in there. 3 years later, I'll update it, and I'll include that fix. We decided that doesn't really make sense. So we moved to an updatable help model. So when you get PowerShell, the help isn't there, and the very first thing you want to do is update the help. And then we're going to be taking your feedback and modifying the help on a regular basis. So periodically, you're going to want to do update help to get the latest help. And then when you have a question, you type get help. Next are get command and show command. Okay, get command gets you the commands. Show commands shows you them. Get member and show object. Now, show object doesn't ship with PowerShell yet. It ships as part of Lee Holmes. Lee Holmes is one of the great developers on the PowerShell team, and he wrote a nice, really thick book, the PowerShell Cookbook. And it shows you not only how to solve particular problems. Oh, how do I do this with remoting? Here's how you do it. He shows you how to solve a problem, and he also shows you how to solve problems like that. So it's a very good template, sort of a design and best practices book. And in that, he's got a command called show object. And so I'm going to steal that because it's just so useful. And get member, PowerShell is an object-oriented system. And get member is a key thing to explore objects. And then get PS drive. In general, there are two parts of PowerShell. There are commandlets, type a command, get sort of text. Sort of tabular output, kind of think SQL tables type output. And then there's another type of world, which is the hierarchical world. Think file systems, XML documents, etc. And those are often exposed to things called PS drives. Okay, so this is it. This is really sort of it. And this is what we're going to explore in this talk. So expectations for this talk. The goal here is to show you the tools and techniques for how to learn PowerShell. I can almost guarantee you, you're going to learn nothing about how to manage anything in this talk. You know, maybe, but probably not, because I have no idea how to manage things. And next is, this talk is about encountering and overcoming problems, okay? So concretely, what you're going to see is, one of the things you're going to see is that I'm a horrible typist, right? I like to joke that PowerShell is such a great product because I have such deep flaws. And that's not a joke. It's really true. I'm a terrible typist. I have terrible flaws. And I'm going to show you those, right? So don't write in your feedback, I didn't come to watch somebody do spelling mistakes. If that's the case, you know, I could save you an hour and 15 minutes. You should just leave. I'm going to make a lot of mistakes. But the point is the point. I'm going to show you how I make mistakes. You know, hey, distinguished engineer, lead engineer for Windows Server, been doing this forever, kind of inventor of this stuff, and still I make mistakes. So when you're at home and you're encountering things and you're there like, oh, I'm trying to wean myself off the GUI and, oh, dang, I get this error, or dang, that's perfectly normal. It's perfectly normal. I want you to see that. And then I also want you to see sort of the struggle. I mean, that's what things happen, right? If you knew everything, you just hit next, next, next. That's not our world. Our world is, dang, what's that? Let me think about that. Well, could be this, could be that. You float hypotheses. You explore. You overcome. And so that's what I'm going to try and teach you or show you is those techniques. Okay? So it's sort of as simple as that. You're going to see lots of mistakes. So let's have some fun. By the way, that concludes the presentation. Now on to the fun. Okay. So, first a quick check. Can you read this in the back? Yeah? Okay, hey, you know what? Let's have some fun here. Do you guys have pens? You got a pen? What I would like you to do, just kind of hear us. No, I'm not going to do it. You're going to do this. Can you count, both of you, can you count like how many times I do get member and you count how many times I do get help? We'll see. I have no idea what this is going to turn out. We'll do a big data on this. Okay, so first the quick recap. There is get help. Okay, and that's one for you. Check on that. And so you'll notice you can say get help and get help online. Okay, so there's help. There is get command. Okay, so notice the output's quite a bit different. Boy, it's showing me a lot of stuff. So that first get help shows just sort of overview information and shows me how to get other stuff. This get command shows me lots of stuff. So what if I then drill in? I say get help, get command. Okay, that works. Get command, get all commands. Here's the syntax, the description. Related links, that's really useful. So get help, get command was get help, has get member, get PS drive, etc. What about, so I did get help, get command. What if I do get command, get help? See, that is get command. See, I told you. There you go. Step number one. Made a mistake. Command, get help. Okay, so that gives you the command information about get help. So there's this difference. It tells you about similar sort of things, but different aspects of those things. Okay, we'll drill into it a little bit more. Now, there's this other thing called show object. Now, let me show you how I got show object. How many people are trying the Windows Management Framework PowerShell version 5 preview? Yeah, okay, if you're not trying it, give it a try. There's this wonderful thing out there called one-get. So get command. You can say minus module, and there's this command one-get. And it shows you the commands in that one-get module. And yes, we have find package, get package, etc. So one-get works against various repositories. In fact, we'll do that. We'll get package source. Get package source. And we wait. And what it's going to do, basically there's various repositories of IT pro type information, right? Sys internals, browsers, various runtimes. And you notice we have two sources here. Right now we've got the PowerShell gallery and the Microsoft PowerShell gallery. And we also have then PowerShell get. So there's another module, get command minus module. Now, I think it's PowerShell get but I'm not sure if it was PS Get. And actually, we've kind of like gone back and forth on the name, so I'm not really sure exactly what the name is. So I could, you know, type something and get it wrong and see an error message. Or what I can do is, when trouble figured out, use wildcard. So I know that there's a P in there, and I know it ends with T. So let's see what that says. Okay, print management and PowerShell get. So let's do PW. Okay, so there you go. Get power, PO star tells me this. So there's find module and install module. So if I say find module, and it was something to do with cookbook, star cook. Okay, so now this is going to go out to a library, a gallery out on the internet, and there's a bunch of PowerShell modules out there, and what it's going to find is the PowerShell cookbook. And when it finds it, I'm going to install it. I've already installed it, and there it is, PowerShell cookbook. Then if I want that, all I do is I say install module, PowerShell cookbook. It brings it down, says, hey, are you sure you want to do that? Is this from a trusted source or not? And it installs it, and you're ready to go. One of the great commands, well, let's see what that says. Get command minus module PowerShell, something with a K. Okay, has a bunch of great stuff, and one of them is show object. Okay, so why is show object so cool? Well, show object. Oh, do you guys know this trick? Let's see. So $H equals get help get command. Then $C equals get command get help. Okay, now what I can do then is you have those in variables. I can do show command $H $C. Oh, show command, sorry, show object. I told you I make lots of mistakes. Show object, $H and $C. There you go. So this is show object. And what it's showing you is I have two things here. The first thing is, so tree control, it is a mammal, that's our help documentation, help info for PowerShell core get command. And it shows you down here type information. Shows you the properties, alert set, category. And that's interesting. And stuff like that. Whereas this next object is a system automation commandlet info. And you notice it's got methods and a very different set of properties. So check this out. Let's explore. So here, now this is the object itself. And when I open it up, I see the actual properties. Right, so there's example. Now there was something there. What did I see? Category, commandlet. So anybody ever use categories for help? So that's actually kind of an interesting thing. So let's explore that a little bit more. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you show command. So I showed you show objects. It's for exploring objects. It shows you type information and instance information. And as I was exploring the object for get help, I noticed this thing category. And the question is, well, what is that thing? By the way, that's the whole point. Go explore. PowerShell. I venture to say that very few people in the world, like including the PowerShell team, know 80% of what we delivered in PowerShell version 1. It's incredibly rich. So there was this thing called category on help. So now let's use show command, and we do that with the show command add-on. And there was something around help. So let's see, help. Okay, so then there was, let's say, get help. And notice there's category here. So we look at that and we'll say, oh, alias, commandlet, provider, general, FAQ, etc. Now I'll warn you that not all of this is utilized, but provider. So get help, category, provider. And so it shows me information about these. So alias, environment, file system, function, variable, registry, certificate, WSMAN. So what if I did get help variable? And there you go. So that's one of the topics. So help is not just about commands. Help is help. One of the things I mentioned to you was that we have commandlets and we have providers, these drives. And so the providers that we have, I showed you get help has category. And one of the things you can do for category is to provide provider, and it tells you about all the providers that are currently available on the system. Now, if you're a developer and you write your own provider, when you write the help, you'll want to put it, say, it's under the category provider, and it'll show up here.
Excuse me?
Hit this in F1?
Yeah.
I can. Won't do anything, but yeah.
Oh, this way. Okay. So it's text-based.
Yeah, it's text. Yep. All right. So there you go. So then this shows me all the information about that, right? So, by the way, so look here. You know, I did this help, and it's like scroll, 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 blah, blah, blah. One of the techniques that I do here, because that's just a mess. So one is to do a clear screen, and then when you do it again, then you can just go up to the top and read it. Okay, so help on variable. There's a variable provider. By the way, does anybody know what we're talking about here? The variable drive? Let's just show you that in a second here. Different drive. Dirt get PS drive. There's a variable drive. So just as we've got like a C drive or a D drive, there's a variable drive. And when I do a dir variable, it shows me the variables. Pretty cool. We'll come back to that. Anyway, so this help, one of the things you can do is do a get help, but then, you know, it's hard to find the beginning, clear screen. That's cool. I can find the beginning, but then I lost all that information that I had. So one of the techniques that I do is I do get help, and I do pipe to clip. Okay, so that puts it on the clipboard, and then I type control N, gives me a new thing, control V, paste, and now, click here, now I've got the help here. Right, and I can read it, I can search. It's a very nice way to look at things. So lots of information about the provider there. Okay. Sorry. All right. So to recap so far, get help, get you help. Get help is different than get command. Get command shows you information about the commands. Get help is more textual. So get command is more programmatic. Get help is more documentation. We showed you how we can use show object. What I didn't show you was get member. So I had done $C, that's the command. And if I do show object, $C, we see the graphical representation of this, or sorry, yeah, graphical. Alternatively, if you do get member, $C pipe to get member. Now notice what this is showing you is the same information at the bottom of show object. Show object showed you the command-led information, all the metadata, but it was at the bottom. Get member shows you that metadata, but it doesn't show you any of the values, right? If you want the values, then what you do is $C type to, well, $C. For those who recap, when you run a PowerShell command, it looks like you're getting text. You're not. You're getting an object. You're getting one of these objects. And what happens is, the system then takes that and projects it as text according to a set of rules. We can drill into what those rules are later. But right now it does those rules. The fact of the matter is you can get anything you want, right? So if you want, the way I typically do this is $C type to format list, and then say star. And this shows you all the information. Look at that. There's quite a bit of information with a command, right? So notice here, it gives you the help URI. So when you say, you might have wondered, hey, so if you have no help on the system, how do you get the help, right? And the answer is this. We go to the commandlet, and there is a help URI to get that information. So let's see if that's actually true. Hope that's true. By the way, I've never done this, so. It could all go pear-shaped. Get help, voila, okay. So there you go, the commandlet information has the metadata for where to go to get the help. It also tells you where it's implemented, has verb, noun, etc. Okay, and then a bunch of definition information, okay? So let's drill into a couple things. I thought I'd explore, because, you know, there are these a couple concepts that we use all the time, and I realized that I didn't have a really good grasp of the particular details between the, you know, disks, volumes, and partitions. So I thought it might just be a fun thing to go explore. Starting in, 2012, we added commandlets for these things, the storage commandlets. Really good coverage. And in fact, these were all built. I don't know if you noticed, but in 2012, we had this dramatic leap in commandlet coverage. And the reason why we did that was we provided a new way to write commandlets. Now you can write commandlets in native code. Before that, it was just .NET code. But now you can write them in native code, and in particular in WMI or SIM. And then we can project that as PowerShell commandlets. And this, what this did was it enabled all the kernel developers, the guys who love, you know, native code, to then go hog wild. These guys didn't want to go learn managed code just to get commandlet coverage. So now we gave them a way to write their commands in native code, and they just went crazy. They just did a fantastic job. So let's explore a little bit about that, because it's actually pretty interesting stuff. So remember, there's drive, partition, and volume. So, using our predictive capabilities, if we wanted to get the drives, we would type, you're killing me, guys, get drive. Yes, thank you. It's not that hard, guys. Get drive. Get drive. Get disks. Oh, get disks. I told you I make a lot of mistakes. Get disks. Okay, so there are our disks. Okay, so then, let's just get rid of this. Get disk. Then there's get partition. And there's get volume. Actually, let me just do another one. Let's just start here. Get disk. Get. Well, I've done something to get rid of my formatting. So let's start over. Get disk. Disk usage. Command. There you go. So get disk. There we go. For some reason, I got myself in a funky state where I think I had overwritten some stuff. Anyway, so this is get disk, get partition, and get volume. Okay. So notice here, I only have one disk. And so that's not going to be that interesting. So let's explore. So I come here, and I think there was something about being able to mount VHD disks. That was a feature that we did. So VHD, and I see that there's a new VHD here. So notice it has empty until I click Show Details. What's that do? By the way, have you ever wondered how I generate this GUI? Right. So here it shows all the paths, right? All the property sets and all these values. And the star tells you, look there, it says it's a string. You ever wonder how we auto-generate that? And the answer is, of course, get command new VHD. Okay, that, let's do $C equals $C dot parameters. There are all the parameters. And those parameters, let's see, was it dot path? Tells me, okay, see it's system string colon colon? String bracket, it's an array of strings. Is it mandatory? The answer down here says it is mandatory, okay? So that's how we auto-generate this information, this GUI, is from the get command. See how these tie together? So let's go ahead and create a new VHD disk and then mount it. So let's see, let's do ctemp test1.vhd. Number of bytes. Okay, well, let's make this 10 megabytes. Anybody know the number for 10 megabytes? Anyone? 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 No, of course not, right. So the great thing about PowerShell is well, you could have done 1024 times 1024 times blah, blah, blah. Or what you can do is 1 KB, 1 MB, 1 GB, etc. So all I'm going to do is I'm going to say 10 MB. That's going to work. Block size, dynamic, blah, blah, blah. Now let's just run it. Okay, and so now I've created a new VHD, verb noun, new VHD. I gave it a name, test one, dir, let's see, CDC temp, dir test one.vhd, and gave it 10 megabytes, but that doesn't look like 10 megabytes. How big is that thing? It's dynamic. Oh, there you go. That's, see, it said dynamic without source. Thank you very much for picking that up. I didn't do a fixed VHD, so it just allocated enough, and then it will grow to 10 megabytes. Okay, thank you. So now I got that, and I want to mount it. So I mount this, because remember I say get disk. Did that do help me? No. I created a disk, but the system doesn't know about it yet, so I have to mount it. So I go ahead, and I'll say ctemp test1.vhd. Yeah, and I could say no drive letter, but I don't. I want it to give it a drive letter. I run that. Okay, great. Get disks. Okay, now I've got two disks. Okay, the original Intel disk and now my virtual disk. So now I say get partition. And I don't see that disk. Huh, so what's up with that? All right, so there, let's see. So now, let's see, partition. Let's see, so there's get partition, new partition. Wait a second, let me go back to disk. What are the other commands I can do on disk? Get command star disk. Okay, notice that. So notice it gave me virtual disks and all that, and I don't want that. So one of the techniques you do is, with the wildcard, I put dash disk. So that'll give me the verbs. Oh, by the way, the other way you can do this is, that's one way to do it, dash disk, dang, star dash disk, and just show me that. The other thing you can do is you can say get command minus noun disk. Now notice there's something here, initialize disk. So that sounds pretty reasonable. What is initialize disk? Initialize disk dash number. So there was a number. So I seem to recall there was a number there. And the number is 1. So the number 1 dash partition style. Okay, so I have my choices here. Anybody know those things? Which one should I use? First one wins.
MBR.
Which one? MBR. Okay, MBR. So let's now, let's see, get disk. Okay, so it updated here. Before, this had shown raw. And so now I've got my initialized disk. Did that help me with my partition? Doesn't help me with my partition. So let's see what I can do for partition. Get command star minus noun partition. Okay, let's try new partition. New partition, disk number, remember it was 1. Alignment, I have no idea what that is. Drive letter, let's try Q, very few things called Q. MBR type, oh, look at here. Now you can see this. This is pretty interesting. So that MBR type, you can specify FAT12. A lot of you using FAT12? I have no idea what the hell FAT12 is. In fact, you know, this was an area I was exploring for the talk, and I saw that, and I still have no idea what it is. So this FAT16, I've heard of that, extended, huge. I wonder who came up with these names. Anyway, so an IFS. So there's some stuff to go party with. It looks fun, but let's do FAT32. And, oh, see, now I can use maximum size or I can do size. So let's see. I said 10 megabytes. Let's do a partition that's just, say, what, 4 megabytes. Okay, that's great. Now here's one. What happens if I say 512 bytes? Let's see what happens. Oh, obviously it gives an error. Oh, that one's in use. What's that? Oh, that drive's in use. Let's do R. Oh, wow, look at that. Oh, okay, that's interesting. So I gave it a size of 512, and it gave me a partition size of 64 KB. Now, by the way, this is a technique that I strongly encourage you to do, and that is to say, consciously make mistakes, right? Consciously make mistakes. So look, when everything's going well, happy days. When things go wrong, you gotta get them resolved. If the first time you're seeing something go wrong is when it matters, right, some production problem, you're seeing that, at that point you're gonna be exploring, oh, what could this be, what could it be, what could it be? Far better is to stop every now and again and say, hey, let's explore. What happens if I do this? What sort of an error would I get? And then you see that error, you introduced the mistake, so you know what the problem is, and then you see what the error message is, and you say, oh, I see. And it helps you develop a feel for how the system works. Now, this is one of the things I want to kind of highlight, and that is, always take any documentation with a grain of salt. I like to say, read any document and always add the word maybe, right? Because there's a lot of difference between the way the system really works and the way it gets documented. And it shouldn't be that way, but it always has been, is, and always will be that way, right? The code, there's truth. So you want to explore the code, and figure out how things really work. And figure out how things work when you're getting it wrong, okay? So now, go back to get partition. Okay, so now I see my two partitions. And I see something here. Look here, it's showing me, hey, did you want to format this thing? I'm going to say no, because I'm a command line guy here. But let's see, it said something about format. So get command star format. And you see I got nothing there. Well, actually, format volume. Okay, so let's see what I got in terms of volumes. Volume. I have new volume, so let's try that. New volume, file system, NTFS, blah, blah, blah. File system path, provisioning type, size. By name, friendly name, by unique ID. Oh, you know what? I'm in the wrong spot. Let's see here, get command minus noun volume. Okay, so we got initialize volume. Ah, that was the trick. Here's the trick. Turns out we have what I consider to be a bug. So somewhere here, there's something called initialize volume. It's an alias. So I said gal initialize volume. Gal stands for get alias. And okay, so initialize volume is an alias for format volume. You'll notice here in volume, I'll see format volume, but I won't see initialize volume. So currently, we do not show aliases in show command, which I consider a bug. And so I'm going to file a bug report on that. I'll show you how to do the same thing. The point is that we want to be able to make predictions and make those predictions true. Now, it turns out that various teams, to that end, we are very prescriptive about the verbs people should use, right? So if you say get verb out grid view, so here, I show you all the verbs. These are the official verbs to use. And you'll see that initialize is one of those verbs. And notice, EF, there is no format verb here. right? So somebody went and did format as a verb. Now, why did they do that? And the answer is, the world was a messy place, the world is a messy place, and the world will always be a messy place. We're trying to introduce some order to that. So great, that sounds great, but I go to a team and I say, hey, it's not format, it's initialize. And the team very rightfully says, yep, I love it, that's a great thing, except I'm not starting from scratch. I got a couple decades worth of having already told people it's format, not initialize. So maybe I should have done initialize, but I didn't. So I can't just break everybody and tell them, oh, there is no format, it's got to be initialize. And so what we said was, well, that's the wonder of aliases. You can have both. You know, pick the right thing and then have an alias for the other. Now, as a general rule, what we tell people to do is the real name should be the predictable name, and your alias should be your old name. And many teams do that, and some teams get it mixed up. This team got it mixed up, and that's why the alias, so I was guessing, oh, I want to be able to initialize a format. I'm looking for it, and I can't find it. Why can't I find it? Because they didn't do it the right way, and we're not showing the aliases. So that's just something to be aware of. Not all your aliases are going to show up here. So when you're predicting something, geez, I bet you there'd be an initialized format, and you can't find it, take a look the other direction too. Hey, is there potentially an alias? Okay, so that was the trick. We needed an initialize something. Well, let's see what we say. It was said it was format volume. So drive letter, get partition. Okay, drive letter Q. Q, look here, you can do allocation size. Again, let's just be mischievous. Let's make it 3. And a file system of, look at that, XFAT, REFS, NTFS. Let's do NTFS with an allocation size of 3. I have no idea what's going to happen. You want to lose that? Double check. Notice, again, back to that production quality. Remember I talked about the AS400 and how much I respected the AS400? Because they realize it's not just about having fun with a computer and puke monkey guts. It's about you doing a job. And so when in a real world, whenever there's anything that can have a severe impact on your system, we warn you, give you an opportunity to say pause, take a look, double check. Let's see, Q. Did I type Q correctly? Is that the right? Yep, that's right. And then say, okay, go ahead and do it. Okay, cluster size is invalid, as I would have guessed. What about 10.2.4.2.4? Run it. Yep. And then that works. Okay? And so now I have that drive, dir q, and it's there. Dir mk dir q colon test. Yeah, okay, so there it did. So let's see, we talked about drives, partitions, volumes, the ability to make a set of guesses. Sometimes those guesses are wrong, right? I guessed drive. Oh, it isn't drive. It's disk. So that's one of those flaws I have. By the way, it's a flaw I consistently have, right? Oh, it should have been disk, but I think drive. So what I do is I'd say, okay, that's a particular flaw I have. I want to have an alias. So I'm going to say set alias, get drive to be get disk. So then most of you will type get disk because you're not flawed the same way I am, and that's going to work. But now I can type get drive and I get that. Okay? So you can personalize it and make it your own. Sounds good? Let's see. Get drive. Dang, it's not there. Why isn't it there? Because this alias is for this environment. I didn't make it permanent. Okay? So now, how do you make things permanent? And this is where the Unix guys solve this very well. They have something called a profile. So, are you guys familiar with profile? It's a variable. Dir, remember, I talked about the variable drive? Dir variable, And there's something in there about a profile. And there you go, profile. So $ profile says, oh, okay, see users, JSON over documents, PowerShell, blah, 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 ISE. Oh, so this is the ISE profile, which is great. Now, so what that means is every time I run ISE, it'll run this profile. So if I create that file and run ISE, it'll run. But you notice I tried to run it somewhere else. I tried to run it here. And that's not ISE, that's the console. So what about a profile that can run in both places? Well, it turns out that a profile, we have four different profiles, okay? And here's a little trick. We don't do this a lot of places, but here's a little trick. Anybody know what $profile is? You think it's an object? It's not. It is, it isn't. Check this out. $profile.getType.fullname. It's a system.string, okay? But it's a special system.string. I'd like to give you a good reason for it. There isn't, but I'll just explain it. So if I say format list star, you get the value. But if I say format list star minus force, now minus force is a pattern that whenever there's hidden information, you type minus force and you can see the hidden information. So it turns out that profile has some hidden information, okay? And when I typed as force, I see it. And so what it's actually showing me is it's saying, hey, profile has four things. It has an all users, all hosts. It has an all users, current host, current user, all hosts, or current user, current host. Okay, so that's a matrix. Me, everybody, this host, all hosts. Okay, and a host is whatever runs PowerShell, whatever hosts PowerShell. PowerShell is just a DLL. And so it runs inside of an XE. There's two. Here's one, ISE. Here's another one, console. When you do remoting, that's a third. If you ever wonder what your console host is, you just type $host. And the name is console host. Here, $host. The name is Windows PowerShell ISE host. Here, start a new tab, enter PS session. I'll do remoting to myself. Did I do that right? Yeah. PS session. When that comes back, I'll show you the host there. Anyway, so I have my choice of where I want to do it. So in this case, I want to say, yeah, you know, I make that mistake, but other people maybe make the same mistake. So I'm going to put it in all users, all hosts. So first, I'll do a dir $profile dot. Now look here, length, all users, all hosts. It's right there. So I do a dir. I see that that file doesn't exist. So first, what I'll do is I'll say new item minus type, item type, file, $profile. By the way, so if I wanted to, I could type that whole thing again. I don't want to type that thing again. So PowerShell has this wonderful thing called $$. What $$ says is grab the last token from the previous line. So it's going to grab this. So I'm going to say $$ and do that. And it went and created that. God darn it. Let's try this again. So I did this. What's that?
You need to say force because the folder is there.
Ah, I have to say force. Thank you. So I did that dir. It wasn't there. By the way, just to make sure we do this right, I'll say write host $$. See, oh, look at that. That's interesting. So I was going to get it wrong anyway. So it just grabs that. I wanted this whole thing. So that's not $$. So I made a mistake there. New item, minus file, minus force. Do that. Okay, so that creates it. And so now what I'll do is I'll say PS edit this. And what I'll do is I'll say set alias, was it get disk to be get drive, or no, get drive equals get disk. Drive, get disk. Okay, and so now, when I come back here, and I say get drive, it just works. Right? And anybody that logs into the system now, when they type get drive, it'll just work because we've set this profile that runs at the beginning of the script for everybody. Now, if you recall back here, okay, it took me a while, $host, I've now remoted into myself, see $host, and the host name is server remote host. Okay, so PowerShell is a DLL, and it gets hosted in lots of different executables. Now, one of my favorite things, let's see if I got this set up. Let's remote to, I've got a local VM, and let's see if I get this right. Enter PS session, my computer name, JPS toct 1 minus auth negotiate. Let's see if this works. So I'm connecting, and oh, yay, okay, great. So now I'm on a remote machine. It's a local VM. This is a new PowerShell version 5 feature, one of my favorites. Okay, so I'm over here, and cd ctemp dir, and let's say dir pipe to new file.txt, and then I'll say host name pipe to new file. .txt, and I'll say get date, and I'll say get date pipe to new file.exe, txt. Okay, so I put a bunch of data in this file. Now, what happens if I want to edit that file, right? With remoting, sort of no good, doesn't really work, except in PowerShell version 5. So I do a dir, and now I say ps edit, and look at that. This actually works. So what it says up here, it says remote file, bracket remote file, and it says new file.txt. And so you can go and edit that file, right, remotely. This is so freaking awesome. I just love PowerShell. Save it. Can't. And there it is. Okay, now this is particularly important because you should all be treating your servers like servers and not having GUIs on your servers. You should be using server core. And of course, one of the challenges with server core is, great, I can do all this command line editing, but what about when I want to go edit a file? That's been a challenge, and now that challenge is removed. You run ISC on a local client box. By the way, we love GUIs. They just belong where they belong, right? GUIs belong on clients. So you run the client, connect to a remote server box, and now you're able to use ISC for editing as well. So now, back here, we had talked about $$, and I screwed up, right? It didn't work, right? It grabs the last thing. So let's take a look at this. So it mentioned the variable drive. Okay, so let's take a look. Ah, okay, there it is, $$. Well, these are all the variable names, and one of the variable names is dollar, so $$. And you see here it says, yeah, it was all user, all hosts. Okay, so then there's $?, $caret, and PS edit. So there's a whole bunch of interesting stuff here. And it's worth exploring because there's a ton of fun stuff here. So let's just kind of say, well, okay, let's pick one. Confirm preference. What's confirm preference? Anybody got any guesses as to how one might get help about confirm preference? Okay, so let's see if that actually helps us. Get help confirm preference. Because remember, I said help is not just about commandlets. Okay, so I showed you that previously by showing you it had help about providers. So that's how we found out about this variable provider. Having drilled into the variable provider, I see this crazy set of stuff. And now I see this one variable, confirm preference, and I wonder, what is that? So I use get help. And notice it doesn't come back right away. And so what it's doing is it's saying, well, I don't have a topic for confirm preference. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to search all the help files to see if any of the content mentions this thing called confirm preference. And indeed it does. It shows you a number of things. New variable, set variable, about common parameters, about preference variables. So that actually, you know, I can go and drill into any of these, but that one sounds like the best one. About preference variables, okay? So let's copy this. Now I'm going to show you, there's get help, and if I just type that, it's going to go out on the display, like I showed you. I could pipe it into clipboard and put it in the notepad, that's great. Or I could, there's two other options. One is show window, and it brings it up here. Cool, by the way, nice thing. For those of you getting old like me, you can give it an appropriate font size. Here, on settings, okay, that's not the right font size, you get to decide what things you want. Here it's showing everything, you know, remarks, related links, etc. You can show just as much or as little as you want, and you can do searches here. So what do we say? Confirm preference. Confirm preference, there are 18 matches. Confirm preference. Okay, so let's go back down. Okay, so let's see. Confirm preference, high. To change the value, okay, that's not really telling me anything. Confirm preference. Determines whether Windows PowerShell automatically prompts you for a confirmation before running a commandlet or function. When the value of confirm preference variable, high, medium, low, is less than or equal to the risk assigned to a commandlet, PowerShell prompts you for confirmation. So let's see, what the heck could that mean? So let's see what the value is. $ confirm preference. It's high, okay? So let's see, let's run calc, and let's stop process minus name calc. And that just worked, right? It went away. Okay, well that's interesting. So let's do that again, calc. Where'd it go? Where'd my calc go? Calc. But this time, let's set that confirm preference, let's set it to low. And let's do that again. Let's stop it. It says, are you sure you want to perform this action? Performing the operation stop process on target calc. Okay? So what happens there is when you write a commandlet, you assign what's called a impact level. I forget the exact term. Impact. Well, actually, I'm not sure the term, so let's find out. Let's go here. Okay, well, it's going to want me to do this. Let's say no for now. Let's bring up a new command and see if I got some help. One of the ways you can find stuff out is snippets. So Control J brings up a snippet, and I always do the advanced function snippet. That gives me complete. And in here, let's see, confirm impact. So when you define a commandlet, you define the impact level of that commandlet, this confirm impact, and you can make it high, medium, or low. Now then, when you perform an operation, depending upon whether the confirm impact, what did I do with that? Oh, depending upon what your confirmation preference is, we'll either blissfully just go ahead and do it, or we'll say, hey, hold on, are you sure? Back to this notion of trying to design, be production quality. So imagine you go and you hire a junior admin, right? You might want to change this confirm preference to say, hey, until you learn the ropes, I want you to validate everything before you do it, So we're going to change your confirmation impact to be confirmation preference to be low or medium. And what that means is, as you perform actions, it's going to ask you, are you sure, are you sure? And as you get more comfortable, maybe you go from low to medium, and then when you become an expert, change it to high. And then we only confirm when things are very high impact, right? So for instance, let's see, it was one of my first PowerShell Summit, PowerShell demos ever here at TechEd Barcelona it was. And I did the following. I did stop, I was trying to describe, stop process, some funky thing, star, blah, 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 something. And then I did what if, right? And of course, if you've seen this before, right, it's going to say, okay, I got nothing like that. But anyway, I did some regular expression that sort of matched to like most everything on the system. And I made the mistake of typing, of not typing what if. And it turns out that if you kill LSASS, bad things happen to your demo. Like you restart the machine in front of everyone. So now when you say stop process minus name, LSASS, and I sure hope we haven't changed this, because if it does, this is going to be really bad. Okay. It says, hey, are you sure? And I'm going to say, no, I do not want to do that. Okay, and let's save the day. So again, one of those examples where we try and be, you know, not too, we don't want to be in your face, oh, are you sure, are you sure, are you sure? But every now and again, you know, if it has high impact, we want to do that. Actually, you want to hear a funny story? Completely outside of PowerShell? Okay, you like this. Okay, so Bill Gates. Bill was our... It was just really hard to do demos or reviews with Bill, right? Because he was just brutal around, hey, demanding the best out of people. And everyone that you'd go present your best work to him, and he'd say, that's the stupidest effing idea I've ever heard in my life. Seriously. And there you are, like, oh my God, I'm the stupidest effing guy in the world, right? And everyone had encountered that. Anyway, so when Bill was going away, a bunch of the senior technical people, we all had a weekend retreat, say goodbye to Bill, and Bill gives a little talk about his time and et cetera, and then he opens it up to Q&A, and one guy raises his hand and says, Bill, you've been a mentor and a guide to us for all these years, and I think everyone in the room really just has one question on my mind. Exactly what was the stupidest effing idea you ever heard, right? And everyone in the room's like crouching because it's like, oh, I know it's me, I know it's me, I know it's me. And the interesting thing was he gave two examples. One was the interaction with the partnership, the original OS2 partnership with IBM. And basically they were trying to value how do you contribute your contribution versus my contribution, right? And it's a legitimate hard problem. But he said they came up with the idea that it was KLOX, number of thousands of lines of code you wrote. So when they gave us this big monster horrible subsystem that was bloated, and then we went and cleaned it up and made it more efficient by cutting out thousands of lines of code, we lost money out of that because we got rid of KLOX and they added KLOX. So that was one of the stupidest ideas. But the other one he gave was UAC. He says, wait a second. So I say, please do this, and then it comes up and says, do you want to do this? Like, I just told you to do it. Anyway, I thought you'd like that one. Don't share that. Okay. sorry, it was just too good to not share. Okay, so variables. So dir variable. I encourage you to go party in this space, because there's just so much amazing stuff. Now notice here, maximum alias count. Any guesses what that is? So let's see, maximum alias count. So let's see if I set that to, let's see if I did something like get alias. Get alias, I get all those aliases. Home, oops, sorry. Put it in parentheses. And I can say count, and then I'll say $home$ max alias count minus that. Is that the number? No, that wasn't it. See, I can't spell for anything. Dir variable, what was that? dollar sign max, max alias count minus get alias dot count. Okay, so what's that? So let's try this. For dollar sign I equals 1, dollar sign I less than or equal to 393, let's just say 5, just to see something, dollar sign I plus plus. And what I'm going to say is new set alias Q dollar sign I to be get process. And let's see how we do. Dollar sign I. Now we'll print it out. Oh no. Stop, 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 stop. Stop. No, no, no. Okay. Dollar sign confirmation reference. Okay, let's try that again. So the number might be a little off now. So imagine you're beginning to learn PowerShell and you're trying out these cool features and you get out of control, right? Well, we don't, remember, we're running this on your servers, right? We want to be production quality. We don't want you to have a runaway script that then tubes your server. That would be the worst thing in the world. So what we do is we have these limits. And here, obviously, you hit that number, and now all of a sudden, you can't create any more aliases. So if I say get alias dot count, oh, geez, that looks like dollar sign max alias count. Ah, okay, so we limit things. And if you try and set things after that, it doesn't. But let's say you needed more. That's fine. Equals 5,000. Just keep going, my friend. 3,935,5,001. Okay, well, at some point we hit that. There you go. Anyway, so you can change that, right, as much as you want. Well, that's not entirely. Can you change it as much as you want? Could you say max int, 64? Well, let's explore. Now, here's something fun. You did it a variable, dollar sign max, alias count, right? So that looks like an integer. No, 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 my friends. That's not an integer. CD variable. Dir max alias count. Look at that. Name value. Huh, I wonder if there's more to it. Format list star. Look at that. So here's its path. Here's the drive. Is it a container? Its current value? Its name? Look at this. Description. Did you know variables have descriptions? It's true. So let's check that out. Dir, pipe to format table, name, description. I can't spell description, so we'll do star. And look here. Oh, let's do this minus auto. Minus auto. Look at that. So these things have descriptions, or many of them do. So dollar sign question mark, you were wondering what that was? It is the status of the last command. Okay? So there you go. And just to make sure, back to something. Okay, notice this attributes. So let's take a look at that. Select attributes. And look at that. It says its minimum range is 1,024. Its maximum range is 32,000. So if I say dollar sign max alias count equals 3, it says, nope, it's too low. These are the ranges. It has to be between those. Okay? So again, let's kind of wrap up here a second. Again, my goal was not to teach you anything. I'm sure you didn't learn anything how to really manage a system. But hopefully, what you've learned is the techniques, how to explore. First, there's a ton to PowerShell. There's a ton. A lot of things are behind the scenes, right? It's like one of those TV sets. You know, there's something at the front, but then behind the scenes, there's so much mechanism. It's all available for you. All you have to do is to walk behind the facade and take a look at it. And how do you walk behind the facade? Well, first, get help. Boy, there's a ton of information on get help. You're still counting because I'm going to ask you. Get command, get member, show object. These are the techniques you want to do to explore the system. And again, you'll notice a lot of times when it's some people are afraid, geez, will I break my system? The answer is maybe. Maybe. That's why it's always a good idea to maybe do it in a VM, take a checkpoint before you really do some crazy stuff. But in general, PowerShell will warn you about things that you're going to break. There's lots of protections. And so I encourage you to go explore. And again, one of the great techniques is to go explore and purposely introduce errors into the system so you see how the system works when you do that. What do those error messages look like? So then, in the heat of the battle, when it really matters and you see that error message, it's not the first time you're seeing it. You say, oh yeah, I remember that. That's this, this, and this. Okay, so let's do a count. How do we do? Get help. 19. Only 19? Does that sound right? I don't know.
I was very busy.
Okay, this is videotaped.
I don't have actual number.
You fell asleep. Okay, well, I guess get help is clearly the most important command to learn. So now here's the deal. Typically, we want to take questions and hang out afterwards, but I can't do that this time here. But right from here, I'm running right over to the expo hall, and right outside the expo hall, you know, the expo hall has the Channel 9 video, and then there's a little thing right before the expo, and then the expo hall. I'm going to be right there doing a next half an hour of Q&A. So please follow me. I'll be running from here to there, and we can go into great details. Again, I hope to have conveyed a sense of exploration. PowerShell really is fun. You know, use it, learn your skills, teach others. You will make mistakes. I mean, you look how many mistakes I made. Why do we have wildcarding? Because I make so many mistakes. Why do we have tab completion? Because I make so many mistakes. Why do we have resource counts? Because I make so many mistakes. I make a lot of mistakes. As you're transitioning, you and your colleagues are transitioning from a GUI and you're doing stuff, it will feel uncomfortable. Like, oh, how do I do this? It's perfectly normal. Overcome. You know, use the techniques, use problem solving, overcome. And I'll just tell you, both here and at the previous few conferences, I cannot tell you how many people have talked to me and told me their stories of having learned PowerShell, how they were a hero for their company, having saved the day, and then how they got a new job, or they got a raise, or got hired by their competitors because their current employer didn't see the value, but their competitors did, or other employers did. I tell you, rewards follow productivity, and productivity comes from doing things with automation. So please learn it, enjoy. Thank you very much.